As you know, there is going to be downsizing, and you have made my life so much easier in that I am going to have to let you go first.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weissenick here with you once again. Daniel Jones released. Pat Hanlon's a giant baby. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Boys, a very rare Saturday morning recording for the gang here. I'll say, unfortunately, I will assume that probably about 50% of the people who are listening to this will be doing so on their way to the Meadowlands Sunday to watch Tommy DeVito, as I will be doing, unfortunately. But how are we?
Good. Feel like a big weight has been lifted off my shoulder.
The first step in solving any problem is admitting there is a problem. We have started the road to recovery. We're in rehab for the fourth time, but we've at least started the process.
Yeah, but I can already sense some upper management relapsing, so I'm not exactly sure how positive the outcome is going to be here. But anyway, so when did we last record? Was it after? So Weiss, you and Will recorded after the official benching of Daniel Jones, but we have not recorded since that. I mean, the three of us haven't discussed that. We didn't discuss them releasing Daniel Jones, or they will be on Monday, and all of the mania that has ensued. So Weiss, why don't you kick us off before I get too angry?
Yeah. So it was a wild week when they first announced he was being benched. You kind of, like, they did everything that, you know, I sort of said that, or we sort of said that they should do, right? Shut him down, make sure he doesn't take any snap. Another snap. Obviously, the injury guarantee is why. But then chaos ensued. You know, everybody got up in arms about the fact that he was playing scout team safety or whatever that was. He gave that weird statement that also upset a lot of people. Or not upset a lot of people, but the reaction to that upset a lot of people. And after that, you kind of sensed that he was going to leave the team. I was actually surprised he asked for his release. I thought he would just be like, send me home, but I understand why he did it. Have a chance to join a team for the final 6 weeks, whatever. But like I said, man, it's just a weight lifted off the shoulder. The reaction, the way it ended, it's not really surprising to me, to be honest with you guys, in terms of the chaos, because, you know, the Giants set themselves up for this when, you know, what they did during the offseason and then not properly addressing the backup quarterback situation, sort of just pretending like everything was good with Daniel Jones when it really wasn't. And if you think about it, the moment he threw those interceptions against Houston in the preseason, from that moment on, it was never about, hey, can this team win with Daniel Jones? It was going to be, when is this team going to bench Daniel Jones? And ever since then, every single week, that's been the topic of conversation outside of maybe 3 weeks of the season. So the Giants set themselves up for this. You know, the one thing about this organization is a lot of their decision making is based on the reaction to their original decision. So, again, happy he's gone. Didn't really affect me or bother me that they had him running scout team safety. Obviously, they couldn't do it because of the hoopla and the chaos that for some reason people were acting like that was a crime against humanity. In reality,
Garofalo reported he volunteered to do it. Brian exactly. Dable's son was out there playing cornerback. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, the job is to stand there.
But this is a much larger point, and I'll pass it on after this. And I wanted to save this for the next discussion, but the fact that we've become such losers, we grasp to any victory. And that victory in this case is he's such a nice guy, right? So essentially that's what this is all about. I'll go more in depth later, but go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off that last thing, it's the Charles Barkley. It, you know, if a guy is nice and he tries hard and he works hard, he can't play a lick. And that's what Daniel Jones is. We'll get into the specifics of that, because there are a ton of the reaction to the release news made me just absolutely fuming. And again, I ignored most of the discourse for a full day, and then I was just at the gym, and I think I took too much pre-workout, and I got pushed over the edge by the Giants VP of communications. Again, we'll get into that. The Daniel Jones release, it is what it is. You know, I think opinions on Daniel Jones in the second contract, excuse me, were all over the place. There were some who were fully bought in, who wanted the guy extended, who thought that the contract was great value. There were some, I think, more along the lines like me, who had preferred they just get rid of Saquon and use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones, make him prove that what we saw was, in the words of the man who drafted him, not a mirage, and just do it again, you know, not against some actual defenses and in a more advanced offensive scheme. And you know, once they didn't do that and they gave him that 4-year contract, which people always say, oh, it's really, it was just a 2-year deal, blah, 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 blah. You know, you talk yourself into it. Listen, it's a 2-year contract. At the end of the day, if they want out, they can get out, but they're out. And I think the negative aspects of it are just far worse than anyone could have imagined. You know, we had spoken last week on the podcast, Weiss, you asked the question towards the end regarding what Joe Shane had sort of thought coming into the season. Like, you know, this guy stinks and it's over, or like, we'll be mediocre and we'll be able to survive. And I genuinely thought that they thought it, there was no way it could have possibly gotten as bad as it did. And it did. So we're over. And it's job saving season. And I was chatting with a few folks and I was like, there's no way that Dable survives if they only win one more game, right? I think the general sentiment is that that's not happening. So it's job saving time. It is. We can talk about the decision to go with Tommy Cutlets over Drew Lock, but this is like desperation time for the regime. You know, maybe not for everyone, but certainly for a few folks.
The one thing you said that I wanted to build off of as far as talking about the contract, and it ties into what we talked about last week, was what Duggan has been saying in his replies to every single person who's been like, well, it's only been 2 years. Right. He keeps saying, well, you just spent 2 years of your life with this. Does that not matter to you?
Yeah.
Like, even if they had an escape hatch after 2 years, they burned 2 years of prime Andrew Thomas. They burned 2 years of prime Dexter Lawrence. They spent all this money on Bobby O. They drafted Malik Nabers. Like,
traded for Brian Burns.
Traded for Brian Burns. Do you not care about the last 2 years of your life that the Giants have wasted because they thought they could do more with a guy who very clearly couldn't? I understand that there are people who are overly sentimental, who they really do care more about the jersey than the guys on the team, and that Daniel Jones being on the team is, you know, he's a Giant for life, as the Giants like to say, and he'll always be a Giant. We'll always have that video of him and Eli playing flip cup at Green Rock. We'll have the picture of him hugging Eli after they won the game against Tampa Bay. But to your points about a team of losers, what are we arguing about here? They have won 6 football games with Daniel Jones over the last 2 years. What are we talking about here?
He's three got games. More turn. They've won 3 games.
Excuse me, correct. Yeah. They've won 3 games over the last 2 years. He has more turnovers than touchdowns. I do not understand. When did I sound like Francesa? When did we become tolerant of this garbage? We're supposed to be a proud franchise. You know, we've won 4 Super Bowls. We've got one of the best playoff quarterbacks of all time in Eli, one of the best players of all time in LT. When did we become accepting? When did we start talking like the Jets? When did it become okay to try our best? You know, it's funny I say that. I remember when we were at the game against the Eagles, I was talking to Will about that, and he did the Sean Connery line from The Rock. Losers always talking about trying their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Yep.
The Giants are trying their best and feeling bad about it. At a certain point, they're losers. That's what they are. They are losers. They stumbled ass backwards into a playoff spot 2 years ago, had no business being there. They got the easiest first round matchup in the history of the NFL playoffs that wasn't a backup quarterback on the other team. And they ate the cheese. You know, that's one of the real signs of discipline from an executive, is knowing when you've gotten lucky as opposed to thinking you're actually good. And the volume of turnovers, the way they won some of those games, you know, it's still the only quarterback.
The defenses that they played on their way.
Jones is still the only NFC quarterback to ever beat Lamar. Like the most miraculous pulling shit out of their ass season of all time. And they earnestly believed it. They earnestly believed in it.
They did. They did. Shane believed it. Dable believed it. Like, I'm sick of this fucking narrative. I'm sick of this narrative that John Mara forced them to sign Daniel Jones. Nick, you're right. They ate the cheese. They ate the cheese. We've seen, and Dan Duggan, the number one Giants beat writer, he made this point. There is so much evidence over the course of their tenure of them doing things that they know are going to be unpopular with ownership. But still, it's their job. It's their decision. They go ahead and they do it anyway. We just watched 3 to 4 episodes of not only them trying to move on from Daniel Jones, but also them negotiating with Saquon and then letting him go. And John Mara almost in tears in Joe Shane's office. All right. These guys ate the cheese. They made the decision. They thought that they could win with this guy. And not to beat a dead horse, but I just want this out there on the record, because I've said it in our group chat, and I do not want this regime drafting a quarterback simply because I do not trust their evaluation. And that may be stupid. We can revisit this in the offseason, but from day one, they have gotten quite literally every single thing wrong in regards to the quarterback position. Their first draft was awful. Their second draft was dog shit. The third draft is looking a little bit better, but it's not even like I don't want a GM on the hot seat drafting a quarterback, because really I don't care about that angle. Because if they draft the quarterback and everything's awful, they're getting fired because they didn't win enough games, and then they're picking in the top five again the next year, and whoever replaces them can do the Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray move on, whatever. You know, like, to me, that's not as big of a deal. I just want you to prove that you can evaluate the position. That's how bad things are. Like, am I crazy here? Like, you come into the job, you don't execute Daniel Jones' fifth-year option, which at the time was fine. But if you're going to do that...
Why are we bringing that up like that's the wrong decision? At the time,
because
that's the
most Weiss, because at the time, that was the right decision.
It was the obvious decision.
It was the obvious decision. But if you're going to do that, the only thing that should then warrant the extension that he got was some insanely good season with some insanely deep run against some insanely good opponents, which we didn't get.
He threw for 15 touchdowns and they gave him $40 million.
So you can't say, I'm not going to exercise the fifth year option and then turn around the next season and then give the guy a 4-year contract. To me, that is asinine. And then you come into this season, you tell Russell Wilson he can't compete for the job. You tell Drew Lock that he's 100% QB2 and give him more money than a bunch of other backups got this past offseason. And then when things go from bad to worse to shit, you're just going to give it to the undrafted free agent guy who does the Italian memes on the internet, who's getting Pizza Hut commercials, whatever the fuck. Like, they have gotten everything wrong with the quarterback position every step of the way. Like, before wasting a top five pick on a guy who just, because if he sucks, may not be here next year, go get me a veteran and show me that you can find someone who's going to be good in the system, can execute, and can do well before you're wasting any more top draft capital on this shit. I'm sorry. I had to get that out there.
Yeah.
And I know that's not going to be a popular take.
No, I think you're definitely, that is a fair take. It's not wrong. I've told you guys
my criticism is more than fair. I think I do not want them drafting a quarterback.
That's fair. I mean, I don't think anybody can defend them at this point. But to me, like, everyone looks at paying Jones. To me, it's what they did the year after that. I just can't remember. Like, everyone talks about the Tyrod Taylor thing, right? Like, Tyrod was never going to come back, right? I refuse to believe that. Like, they didn't give Tyrod his job back. But if they went to Tyrod and they said, "Hey, listen, we're going to give you what the Jets gave you, right? we're gonna allow you to compete for the starting job. Like, let me just play out the scenario to you and imagine where we would be right now. They did what they did, and they tried to go get the quarterback. They failed. They didn't like anybody else. They didn't draft a quarterback, right? But if they would have went to Tyrod Taylor, right? Let's just stick to the Tyrod thing, right? And said, forget the Russell Wilson thing for a second. And they said, hey, Tyrod, we know, you know, you're upset with us. Let's make it right. We're going to allow you to compete for the starting job. We're going to publicly say that, right? Whenever we talk to the media during the offseason, we're going to have an open quarterback competition. We're going to have Tommy here, and we're going to put the best quarterback on the field, not the one that we're most committed to financially. And, you know, let's say Tyrod performed well, or let's say Jones, you know, it was neck and neck. You give Jones the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season, 6 weeks of the season, it turns sour, or it plays out exactly how the first 6 weeks played out, and you make the switch to Tyrod. I think the locker room would have been in a better place because Tyrod was a well-respected veteran quarterback in the Giants locker room. There was a lot of young players that actually looked up to Tyrod Taylor and went to Tyrod Taylor, and they would have been in a much better place rather than 10 weeks later. Drew Lock is apparently so bad that you can't even give him a game or two, and you have to go back to Tommy DeVito, who, as you explained it, is essentially, I mean, they again, say
that Weiss, just I'll let you finish because I sort of glazed over it in my yellings. To me, that is the most jarring part. Like, how much pro tape do you have on Drew Lock? You had the guy in camp. You lit $5 million on fire to make him QB2. That's what you told the guy.
Can I tell you why they're playing Tommy DeVito over Drew Lock?
Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. I think it's because Drew Lock looked like absolute ass in camp. What is the more in-depth thing?
The more in-depth thing is that Brian Daboll is trying to save his job.
Of course, that's what I'm saying.
Tommy DeVito, this is the reason. It's not that Tommy DeVito is a better quarterback than Drew Lock.
I think he is.
Well, I think that's a pointless argument.
Would you rather have solid or loose? It's not a pointless argument.
Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito, the difference is one will protect the football, and that's what the Giants want to do going forward is protect the ball.
We agree, but we're looking at it from different angles. You think that it's going to save, it's an attempt to save Brian Daboll's job because he can just deflect.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, no, we agree on that. You think that because you think that they can just deflect blame and say, oh, but we're starting Tommy DeVito. What did you expect? I think it's to save jobs because if people see bad Drew Lock plays, they're going to be like, oh, shit, this guy really doesn't know what he's doing with the quarterback position.
No. Tommy DeVito, the only way, if they win games down the stretch like they did last year, I think that's going to be enough to save Brian Daboll's job because I don't think that they want to make a change right now. But they have more faith. And like what they want to do going forward is they're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to do a lot of intermediate throws. They're going to try to not turn the football over because, you know, their defense might not generate, what was that, 12 turnovers in three games last year. So they're not banking on that. So they're just trying to manage the game, keep it close, maybe pull out two or three games in the final, six, seven games, and that'll be enough. That's why they're going to DeVito. They think DeVito can execute that game plan more than Drew Lock, who's more of a gunslinger. That's why I think they went to DeVito.
I think you're being way too nice.
But that doesn't. Here's the thing. That doesn't. Like, here's the thing about me, right? Like, my opinion on this. If DeVito goes in there and wins games, it doesn't make it better for Daboll in my eyes. It makes it worse.
It absolutely does.
They waited.
Not in my opinion. It makes it worse. Like, I don't look at it and say, oh, look at Daboll. He can coach. Look at DeVito. He's winning. Like, no, that was last year. Even. We did that last year. We're not doing that again this year. Okay? So it doesn't make... There's nothing that makes it better, right? I go back to my previous point. It's the fact that you don't have a capable quarterback in that room that you could turn to when it was evident in the first 4 weeks that Daniel Jones was cooked.
Yeah, but to me, it makes it better. It does. Like, again, I'll still go back to...
Well, I think your bar is very low.
Of course it's low. I'm a Giants fan. But when we're talking about job saving season, Brian Daboll, when he went undrafted free agent 2 years in a row, and I get it, the last year more fluky shit with the turnovers that you just mentioned, 12 and 3 games or 4 games, whatever the stat was. But if he can keep the again, if Brian Daboll can keep the locker room from imploding with locker room favorite, apparently, Daniel Jones getting benched and released with the defensive players who are probably fucking pissed off that this offense can't move the ball and is airing them out, and then picking a UDFA over a former second round pick and winning some games, and he can hold this locker room together. Yeah, that to me, great job. And I'll let you know, no qualms with you keeping the job and moving forward.
I think
I understand your skepticism, though. I'm not going to be like,
no, because I think that's exactly what's probably going to happen.
That's the thing. They're not winning.
They can beat the Cowboys. They can beat the Cowboys.
Here's the thing, right? Is that, but it happens or doesn't happen, that shouldn't be the bar. I'm sorry.
That's fair. I agree with you.
If you can win games with Tommy DeVito,
then why did it take 11 weeks to get there? I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And this season did not need to be flushed out the toilet.
Why is the quarterback room the way it is?
We agree, but to me, that's more Joe Shane.
No, I think that's Brian Daboll too. I know Brian Daboll.
He takes responsibility for sure. But these decisions are Joe Shane first.
I don't think there's a quarterback in like. I don't think there's any quarterback in this room or that's been in the room since Brian Daboll has got here that Brian Daboll didn't push for. That doesn't mean that they're both tied. This is both them equally, right? I'm not one or the other. But like I said, man, I like that scenario with Tyrod. I just feel like they would have been in a such much better place, even if they didn't have a winning record, if they would have just, you know, not done what they did. And you guys, like I said, you guys go back to the contract and eating the cheese and all that. I'm willing to bypass that. They had their best year in a decade. They won a playoff game. You know, the vibes were great. I get you don't want to, he's very popular in the locker room. You don't want to do him wrong. You wanted to keep Barkley. I get that. They were backed up into a corner. I totally get that. Right. And I was willing to bypass that, right, as horrible of a decision as it was. But then a year later, I just, for the life of me, I'll never understand that. And if they get fired for that, which they very well could, it'll be something that I think about for a very long time. But how did they let that happen?
That's fair. Right. I completely agree with you. I completely agree.
Shall we discuss ESPN?
Your favorite topic. I know you've been waiting for this. Go ahead, Ethan. What happened?
All right. So I'm going to just take a wild guess here and assume a majority of our listenership is gainfully employed, which means you do not watch First Take from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I have not watched SportsCenter regularly, religiously, since probably middle school. Since the days of Stuart Scott, I have not regularly watched SportsCenter. I would argue that a majority of these shows are irrelevant, that their hosts are irrelevant, with the exception of a few, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world. Okay? So when Daniel Jones gets benched and I see all this ridiculous discourse, and I'm seeing it exclusively on Twitter, about how dirty they did him, about what a nice guy he is. I don't give a fuck. Win football games. They did not win enough football games. That's why he is not the quarterback of the New York Giants anymore. All right. I ignore the discourse almost the entire day. I'm like, I am not partaking in this. I cannot do it. I will not do it. It's going to drive me mad. I go on to the gym. Lifting weights, probably took a little too much pre-workout. And I see the Giants vice president of communications, the notorious Pat Hanlon, with a full diaper, full of poop, on the timeline, talking about how an ESPN personality could disrespect Daniel Jones like that. And Daniel Jones' speech that he had his agents very clearly write for him that he gave at the end of practice or whenever it was. Okay. L. Duncan, E-L-L-E. Who is L. Duncan? I don't know because I'm gainfully employed and I do not watch SportsCenter and First Take. Who is this second-rate ESPN talent that I now have to care about? I don't know. So I see the clip about her making fun of Daniel Jones. Okay, whatever. This is what Pat Hanlon got upset about. And then to make matters worse, his diaper was so full, he had to contact ESPN executives the next day to complain, only for the First Take cast to double down and make fun of the Giants. Stephen A. Smith absolutely eviscerated them. How the only reason they're not a bigger laughingstock is because the Jets are a thing. How, since, as in Stephen A.'s words, 2007 and 2011, the New York Giants, besides those two runs, have been an absolute disgrace. Here's the difference. Daniel Jones got paid money to win football games. L. Duncan got paid money to generate clicks and eyeballs. Only one of those individuals did their job. All right? So I do not want to hear any of this revisionist history. This Daniel Jones is such a nice guy. He's so loved in the locker room. I don't care, Pat Hanlon. I do not care. You want to know what's more of a disgrace? That fans like me have wasted hours, days, weeks, months, years, thousands and thousands of dollars on this garbage product that you have continued to put on the field week in and week out. I got a text yesterday, late at night, from the lovely gentleman who has season tickets that sits right next to me. I haven't seen him since the game I went to in September. He goes, hey, I hope to see you tomorrow. And we're just going back and forth, like, what percentage of the seats do you think are going to be empty? What percentage of the seats do you think are going to be Buccaneer fans? Do you think these guys are going to keep their jobs? I'm sick of having these conversations. Win football games. It's what you're paid to do. L. Duncan is paid to get clicks and eyeballs and apparently DUIs, because that's what I saw on the timeline. And for someone like her to have to agree with someone like her.
Wait, she got a DUI?
Like years ago, apparently. I don't know. That's what people are talking about. I do not want to side with this person. I do not want to side with the person that ESPN is paying money because they think that she can generate the clickbait and she can generate the eyeballs. I want to side with the New York Football Giants, but you're making it impossible. Win some fucking football games. Go to break.
Well, they actually doubled down on it because they sent Carl Banks out too to say something.
Which is despicable, because even Carl Banks hasn't been running point for them this year. He's like out on Daniel Jones.
Yeah. I also think she didn't say anything
wrong. Care
more
about appearances than winning football games.
She might be right. If it's pathetic, if they gave out Lombardis for friendship, the Giants would be a modern day dynasty. They don't care about winning. It's a disgrace. Well, they care more about what people think.
She might be right, because he might sign with the 49ers and be Brock Purdy's backup. So that she might be right.
Great. Good for him.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what happened. So when Pat Hanlon tweeted that, I was like, oh, what happened? I thought, okay, maybe they made fun of him because he was crying or something. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of messed up. But then, like, I was looking for the clip and I just couldn't find it. I'm like, wait.
That's how irrelevant it was. Dude, it took him until the next day, until Awful Announcing posted them back to back, for me to see it. How did Pat Hanlon even find it in the first place?
Because he was watching SportsCenter.
I did not know who L. Duncan was. I did not know who she was. I did not want to know who she was.
I know she is, just because I some other reason, but okay. Yeah. Look, you're right, man. It's the Giants have become such, and I've told you guys, it's such big chronic losers. Like I said, where they, when you lose so much and when you're so used to not having great players on your team, like, you end up trying to grasp at something. Right? Like, you grasp at the fact that this guy is such a nice guy and such a hard worker and first guy. Like, you grasp at those things because, you know, the product is not good. So you need something to feel good about. Right. And I guess it makes people feel good that somebody works hard. Right.
Which, well, look at the bullshit they did last year with DeVito.
Yeah.
So, off the street. I don't know if you saw somebody did a sketch where they pretended to call into a radio station and they said, the reason Tommy DeVito is better than Daniel Jones is that all of the pipes in North Jersey are lined with lead, and Tommy DeVito grew up drinking lead poisoned water. So he was too stupid to realize he was set up to fail last year, and he went in and did a great job. Daniel Jones, who went to Duke, was too smart, drank the lead tainted water, and got stupid. and forgot how to play football. Yeah.
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 Sure. I mean, I buy that theory 100%. This is where we are as a franchise. The highlights of last season are Justin Pugh selling fresh off the couch t-shirts on his fucking personal brand website and Tommy DeVito being in a Super Bowl commercial because he's a funny Italian American.
Tommy DeVito being at the Winter Classic at MetLife Stadium.
Don't talk about that. By the way, the guy I'm going to the game with tomorrow, the last time him and I were at MetLife was that game. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway, I'm frustrated because I made these plans in like September. My buddy texted me, he's like, hey, are we going? I'm like, I guess. I'm giving my December tickets to charity. See if I can write it off.
Oh, I think charity wants them.
Do you imagine me sending a Make-A-Wish kid to a December Tommy DeVito game?
We'll send it back.
Hey, maybe he's a kid from Jersey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I
mean, somebody else who's been drinking the lead poison water their whole life.
Yeah.
I don't even think Tommy DeVito's entire family is going to go see him play.
They're going to fill the whole stadium with just DeVito family members and acquaintances.
Probably.
There at training camp, where his dad was sitting, like people from like a couple rows away were kind of chant, like they yelled, like, I think DeVito had like a bad play or something. They're like, cut this guy. And they were like chanting, like, cut DeVito or something. And it was just really awkward. Looks like Tommy DeVito's dad got the last laugh. Right, Nick?
You always say it, Weiss, losing with class. The Giants are jobbers. We're here to be the guy who goes out to the ring. And
Tommy DeVito's dad is a big cupping guy. He had the cupping marks.
Work. That doesn't actually do anything.
He was dressed like, I mean, he got the sleeveless shirts with the glasses, hair slicked back.
Talk about losing with class.
Yeah.
You want the freest money bet for Sunday, for tomorrow, today, if you're listening on your way to the game. Losing with class. Sterling Shepard, anytime touchdown.
Yeah. He looks good. Sterling Shepard actually looks like he's got some spryness in his legs for the first time in years.
Well, I hope he scores because I do not have Devontae Smith this week, so I had to make a desperation pickup, and I went for the narrative play here.
I love Sterling Shepard, by the way.
Great guy.
Such a likable guy. Yeah, such a likable guy.
Yeah. Which, again, Lombardi's for friendships.
Yeah.
Okay, next on the rundown. I believe you had QB options for next year.
Oh yeah.
So they're eating all the money next year.
Yes. Which is the right thing to do. I don't see
which why also makes the Stafford dream like dead. Unless
no, not really. They still have $61 million in cap space.
Yeah, but Stafford's cap next year is like 40 something or 50 something.
Yeah, you can add a like if you
have
you're
them eat it.
No, well let's do Stafford first, right? Let's say they go the Stafford route, right? That's obviously an all-in move. Okay, so you can adjust this contract where you can add a void year, spread that cap, so that like they're very healthy with the cap. But I wanted to go over 10 guys. I'm going to throw at you. All right, veterans. Five.
I don't know if there are 10, but go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. All right. So number 10, obviously, let's go with Tommy DeVito. Likelihood he's back next year.
As the developmental back or the backup? Starter.
He's with the team. He's in the quarterback
room. Yeah, he's with the team.
Yeah.
All right. Number 9, I am going to go with Joe Flacco.
I think he retires. I think he looks done.
Yeah.
Number 8 was Matthew Stafford. Again, this is not likelihood. This is just guys that I wrote down. Likelihood, you would. I mean, not likelihood.
Absolutely, I would.
Okay. All right. Cool. So you're very much a veteran guy. You want to go the veteran.
I'm on the narrative train. All right.
This guy is my number 1 free agent target for the Giants. Jameis Winston.
Oh, yes, I would love that.
Sure.
Perfect bridge guy, great locker room guy.
The vibes. If you're going to be bad, great, you might as well have good vibes.
Great for the vibes. I agree with you. Good. Zach Wilson.
No.
Not a bridge guy?
Yes.
Ethan liked Zach Wilson a lot. You want to
I did now. Too. I just don't think he's played an... I don't think he's played enough to be like as a project, sure, but as a starter, no.
Like, I would invite him to camp.
Yeah.
I don't think he's what Brian Daboll's looking for, like, stylistically, body type, any of that stuff. So, like, probably not, but like, okay.
Justin Fields.
No.
Yeah, sure. I could lie to myself about Fields at least.
Giants don't need a running back.
Jacoby Brissett.
No.
No.
Trey Lance.
No.
Not as a starter.
Spend big money on Sam Darnold.
Nope. No.
The draft. Jalen Milroe.
In the second, fine.
Yeah.
In the second, you said it's fine?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually think he might go back to school, by the way.
I could see it.
Yeah, I think so. Cam Ward.
No.
Nah, not a big fan.
Where would you rank him quarterback-wise in this draft?
Probably two or three.
Jalen Miller or Cam Ward, Ethan?
Like, in terms of, like, if I had to pick or ranking?
Like, these are the two guys that are on their board. They're picking one. Who would you take?
Milroe.
I think I might be with you. And then finally, the big one, my quarterback one, the guy I think I would have drafted last year if he would have came out. Been watching him a lot. Shedeur Sanders.
I definitely worry about a lot of the narrative stuff, because we know the Giants love narrative stuff.
They've also done a lot of work on him. Brown has been there a couple times.
Joe Shane's been there a couple times.
I think Deion is staying, by the way.
He's not leaving Colorado.
No.
They got the recruit. They got the quarterback. Another five-star quarterback to come. So
also, it's a great college town, Boulder, Colorado. Just an absolute awesome town. And he's the king there. There's no reason for him to leave. And the Big 12 is so easy.
No, right. And he can keep leveraging potential offers into bigger contracts and more stuff. So it's a good gig until he gets something he really wants, you know? Right. Like, if he can get Florida State in a year or two, I could see him doing that.
Like, I think eventually he is going to go move, but I just think Colorado is...
For now, it's a good spot. Shedeur is good. Shedeur
Sanders.
Look, I'm not overly bullish on him because of the traits. He doesn't have great arm talent. He's not that fast. He's average size.
He has good arm talent. He doesn't have good arm strength.
I should say strength. Yes, excuse me. He doesn't throw that hard. He doesn't
have good placement.
But he's got good placement. Yeah.
Great pocket awareness.
He's a good pocket passer.
Good
footwork. I do think part of me is weary about him because, again, like Ethan had said before about Zach Wilson, he doesn't really fit the body type of what Dable's been looking for in these quarterbacks, which I do think matters to some degree, because Dable does want that quarterback run as a viable play in there, and Shedeur is not a mobile quarterback in that respect. He's not going to be running those goal line read options.
He's also not fast.
Yes.
That's what makes Jalen Milroe so interesting to me.
Yes. Is
because he sort of fits some of what...
Yeah, but the thing... He's
very raw as a passer, man.
Yeah, he's not tall. Like, that's a multi-year project if he comes out this year.
Yes, there's no one I really love, you know, if you want, and this is why, and I say this every, the Giants should have been taking a quarterback in the mid rounds each of the last handful of seasons. I understand they needed a lot of stuff over the last few years, but you need to be drafting project quarterbacks so you're not going to the scrap heap like this. Like, you should have drafted a quarterback that first year in the third or fourth round, as opposed to that you've had in your system for 3 or 4 years, as opposed to what DeVito is right now. That's the way good teams do it. The Giants need to actually invest in the backup quarterback position as a developmental role, you know.
Well, it is Tommy DeVito.
But they didn't draft him. He was a priority free agent.
I'll say this with Shedeur. Last year with McCarthy and Penix and Bo Nix, I actually liked Bo Nix and Penix more than McCarthy. And I would have been fine if they would have like if those guys would have fell into the back half of the first round and you sort of move up to get that fifth year option, like I would have been fine with that. I just think Shedeur is worth taking. Like, I think his skill set and what he's been shown on film this year, particularly, like last year, it was a really bad Colorado team. Like, it was practically the same 1-11 team. They just added a couple of Jackson State guys and obviously Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, but the lines, the defensive line.
I thought
they
had like the most transfers in college football history last year.
They did, but the offensive line, Nick, wasn't that still the old, like, majority of the old Colorado team? The point is, it's a much better team this year.
Yes, they are. They're gonna they're gonna make a decent
make
bowl
playoffs.
I don't know about the playoff
because you
don't
think they'll beat two.
You don't BYU is gonna win the Big 12. BYU is gonna win. All they gotta do is win out. BYU. Well,
the Big 12 championship game was going to be the big decider.
Well, they probably. I still think they probably beat Colorado.
That I'm rooting for. Like, I've watched every Colorado game, not just because of the Shador thing, but I've actually enjoyed watching them. I'm rooting for them to make the college football playoff because I want to see Shador Sanders go against an SEC team, and I want to see how he plays.
He's going to the Shrine Bowl.
I did see.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is sort of embarrassing.
He wants to get his name out. He wants to play in front of people. I understand it from like a why he would do it. I do agree with you that like he's better than that, but
it's just like not like a talented
thing. Isn't there like an NIL thing involved in that for him? Who's sponsoring the East West Shrine Bowl?
That sounds right. That like there's an NIL component to this now. The Shrine Bowl as an incentive to get them to go. I vaguely recall.
Under Armour sponsor the East West Shrine Bowl? I
think so. Yeah.
And isn't he Under Armour guy or gonna be an Under Armour guy or something like that?
I think so.
I remember him wearing. I don't know. But the real test for me is if he gets to the college football playoff and goes against an SEC school or two SEC schools if they win. But I really like Shador, man. I think the Giants desperately need a new face of the franchise, guys. I can't emphasize this enough. They have to get out of this loser mentality. And I think there's something there with Sanders. Like there's like, it's kind of like with Joe Burrow, right? Where Joe Burrow didn't have all the elite traits, didn't have the elite size, but he just had it. I think Shador is sort of similar to that. Unfortunately with Shador, there's a lot of that extracurricular stuff with his dad and you know his
brain. I don't think his dad is going to be as big a deal as people are making it out to be.
I also think that the idea of being drafted by the Giants, I think that you know I'll talk about it is that I think they're both open to that.
Sure.
Like, I think that's an option. Like what's different? Like I know the Raiders, Las Vegas, and Tom Brady's there and you know whatever, but like play under Antonio Pierce versus like playing New York.
Antonio Pierce might get fired after 1 year in all honesty.
Yeah, like I think that organization's in a tough spot too. So I don't know why that's okay. They don't have the talent. They don't have the talent as the Giants do. And I know that's not saying much, but I don't know. I think the Giants are doing a lot of homework there. Brandon Brown's been down to Florida, Colorado a lot. I watched a lot of Shador. I'm going to watch a lot of Cam Ward, see if what Ethan is saying is right. So yeah, it just feels great to now be in this situation where we're looking for a quarterback, no questions asked. Like there's nothing.
We were doing that last year.
We were, but there was always that. Well, they just paid Jones. Like now it's over. Now we can start Tommy. Like the rest of the season will be Tommy DeVito 1 week and then Drew Locke the next week. And that to me, that's so much better than just Daniel Jones gives us the best chance to win every week. Danny DeVito in 3 weeks.
Danny DeVito?
Yeah,
I would like to see Danny DeVito play quarterback for the Giants. I think that would be more entertaining.
Tim Boyle, like I like the uncertainty rather than what we were doing the first 10 weeks.
No, that's that gets you fired.
Weiss, come on, you're better than that. You're better than that.
There was nothing worse than sitting on my couch and having to watch Daniel Jones. And you know what the crazy part about it is, and you guys will call me an effing idiot about this, is throughout his career, right, earlier in the season particularly, after every time he would have like a good game, I always would think to myself, that's the game. That's it. Like, it's clicked now. Like, we're going to trend upwards. And then the next week, he would just shit the bed.
Yeah, and that game was like 200 passing yards, a touchdown, and like 50.
No, yards. Like the five touchdown game against Washington is rookie season.
Got it.
You know, the playoff game.
I do have
the game against New Orleans. Remember that?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah.
The comeback against Arizona. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
Like those type of moments.
I do have two questions for you guys because these came up at my conversation at dinner last night with my uncle, and I thought they were good topics, and they're tied together. Number one. Do you think there is any world in which Daniel Jones could have been a successful NFL quarterback for the New York Football Giants? Or do you think that everything around him, no matter what, was going to doom him? Firing the head coach who he had the most success with after one season, going to a coach who was not an offensive-minded head coach and having Jason Garrett run the offense. Do you think there is any world in which he could have been successful with those circumstances?
It's tough to say because it was 6 years, three different head coaches.
Yes.
And I think we saw the peak, right, with the playoff win.
Yeah.
I wonder what would have happened if they would have kept Shurmur and kind of went another year to kind of see where his development goes because he was a rookie. But ultimately, I mean, since day one, I think Ethan's been saying this, like his ceiling was always Ryan Tannehill, right? There was going to be a peak and then it was going to just drop. And, you know,
Yeah, but he never even peaked out at Ryan Tannehill. It's the sad part.
Well, did Ryan Tannehill win a playoff game?
Ryan Tannehill got to the AFC title game.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Tennessee Titans.
Dude, Tannehill had like, once he left Miami, he put together a string of like 3 to 4 really good seasons.
Yeah, you're right. I just don't think that, like, do I think Daniel Jones is going to go somewhere and be a successful quarterback? No. I think he's a career backup. And that's that. He'll come in, maybe he'll win a big game for a team, but that's it.
And I'm saying this dead serious. He should explore the Taysom Hill route.
I don't think
he's too injury prone. That's he's already got
Taysom Hill's always banged up. And like, listen, if you already got
you got the neck issue. It's
yeah, but look at how he was playing this year, dude. He was running like he knew he had an injury guarantee. He didn't. Yeah, he didn't give a shit. It was reckless abandon. Just, you know, whatever. If you genuinely love football and you want to play, I think Taysom Hill's the way to go.
Where do you think he ends up?
Not a clue. I've been thinking about this. I think the funniest part.
I've been going back and forth between San Francisco and, I want to say, I'm trying to think of a bad team where he could get like Carolina, like he could start for Carolina next week. Like
I don't think so. I think they're going to give Bryce Young the rest of the year.
It depends what he wants. You know, if he wants to like soak it up the way Sam Darnold did, you go to a good team. You try and go to San Francisco. You try and go somewhere with an entrenched starter. If he wants to play, you know, if he wants to do the Baker Mayfield thing, you got to go to a bad team. You got to go to a team Raiders? That's at. Yeah, I can see
Do you think that would be smart for him to go to a bad team like the Raiders and dip his stock even more?
It depends what he wants. If he wants to try and play to prove that the Giants were the problem and not him, yeah, I wouldn't. I would be trying to go to San Francisco. I'd be trying to go to Buffalo. I'd be trying to go to, I would say Dallas, but he could play for Dallas in all honesty. He's better than Cooper Rush.
I think they already said they're not interested.
Yeah. There's no obvious answer.
There's three teams. I think I'm watching the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles and the.
Oh, Howie would love to do that just to stick his nose in the Giants' eyes. I could see the Jets too for the same reason in all honesty.
I don't think it goes.
Here's the thing about Daniel Jones and where he winds up. I think by default, he's going to wind up with an above average team, like a playoff contender. Because I think the teams that are bad, they know they're bad. They probably want to be bad for the rest of the season. And for those who are maybe a head coach who are attempting to still save their jobs, I don't think bringing in maybe the biggest storyline in football for this week and bit of a clown show and having him come in and then immediately just not being good. I don't think anyone wants that. So
I don't think he wants that. I think San Francisco. Brock Purdy just got hurt. Who knows what that shoulder injury is? Could potentially play some games.
Yeah, but they got that. They got the Stanford kid and they have Brandon Allen. Like they got some guys who, whatever.
The astronaut. What's his name? The astronaut. Help me out.
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs, yes, the Josh Dobbs, yeah.
Dude, even Dobbs would like have been he's like a professional wrestler. Backup. Yeah.
All right, get us out of here, Ethan.
All right. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, subscribe, unsubscribe. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. We'll be back in a few days after a Giants loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. See everyone at MetLife.
Peace.